Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Integrity Matters by Turnitin. My name is Chooks, and with me in the house is Dr. Freeman Rajalingam, Director of Center for Teaching, Learning and Pedagogy, Nanyang Technological University, Singapore. Hello. It's good to see you again.
Hi, Chooks. Good afternoon, and thanks for having me at this session.
You're very welcome. And likewise, today we're going to be looking at the topic collaborative learning and the changing landscape of learning and teaching. And we're going to be looking at it from the Singapore context. Before we begin, can you tell us a bit about your background, your academic background, your focus area at the university, and your role as director of teaching, learning, and pedagogy?
Well, thanks again for inviting me to talk about this. Where should I start? Let me start backwards. I think that's the best way to do it. I have a little bit of eclectic background, and I didn't reach teaching and learning directly, but my current role is the director of teaching, learning, and pedagogy, director of Center for Teaching, Learning, and Pedagogy at the Nanyang Technological University, and I've been in this role since January 2020. Right, so just before, I guess, we've had all of these lockdowns. So it's been an interesting 2 years almost. The center is we're a group of academic developers. And so what that means is that we do all the faculty development for all new faculty throughout the university and continuing education in teaching and learning for existing faculty as well. We also are responsible for the student feedback on teaching, right, which most universities have. We consult on university policy in regards to teaching and learning. Over especially this, COVID period, right, we've been very much working with our Center for IT Services to try to help our faculty move a lot of their teaching to either fully online or more blended approaches, which are perhaps more appropriate for the situation that we're in right now. Before that, I was the Assistant Dean for Educational Development at a new medical school, which is a joint medical school of Imperial College and NTU. We started that school in 2010. I joined in 2012. That school is a lecture-free medical school, or at least there's no standard lectures. All the large group teaching is replaced by something we call team-based learning. And I was very much involved in helping set that up. Before that, I was in another kind of newish medical school called Duke NUS Medical School, another partnership between two universities in Singapore, again involved in faculty development. And before that, I was at another new institution. You're seeing a bit of a pattern here, I guess, called the Republic Polytechnic in Singapore, which used problem-based learning as its signature pedagogy. My original training was as an engineer, and a lot of it was actually in Australia, firstly in Brisbane, and then later in Melbourne, where I did go on to do a PhD in educational psychology. Yeah, so it's been a I wouldn't say a linear path to get to being the director for the Center of Teaching and Learning, but everything along the way has probably shaped how I've approached teaching and learning.
Excellent. I think for me, I always believe that your background, no matter how not linear it is, actually makes for an exciting career, because I actually come from a similar background, and I do share the same sentiments. You've already sort of alluded to my next question, which is just trying to get or learn about some success stories with the sudden pivots to remote and hybrid learning. How's the universe, NTU managed this pivot?
I think NTU's actually managed very well, considering, it's actually been difficult for universities all around the world. And if, in retrospect, that probably comes down to, a couple of factors. There was foresight in the university to seriously invest in the technologies which support teaching and learning. And I think they've been doing this since about 2010, right? Gradually. And so when the pandemic hit, a lot of these systems are already in place. The other thing which university has invested in is actually, and I think this is perhaps the more difficult piece, is helping faculty then make the transition to use these technologies and teach in more innovative ways. I think the medical school, which I was involved in it, which I said, you know, we started in 2012, admitted our first batch of students in 2013, is a clear example of this, you know, to move to a complete team-based learning approach to teaching the medical school, right? Meant that university had to be courageous at a time when there wasn't perhaps a need to and invest in the technology and say, no, we're not just going to, you know, give package lectures like most other schools do. Right? And let's actually put, using the medical school as an example, the medical school in a very strong position to move a lot of their curriculum either completely online or continue in a blended way.
Excellent. So it sounds like the university already, like you said, had the foresight and already looking into exploring this this mode of delivery. So this was not like a big push for a big impact like most other universities that probably just stuck with the face-to-face delivery modes and have to change things as well.
Let me not undersell the challenge as well. I think it wasn't a big shock because we had the systems in place. But it was definitely a big shock for faculty who. So what I think the pandemic did with a lot of other things in university, it accelerated the you know, faculty learning about these things and having to come on board. It did put some stress on the system. So because the investment had been made gradually over a few years, I think that bit was less of a concern in NTU than perhaps many of the other institutions. But the faculty still struggled. To think about how am I going to do this now? I've got a few months to perhaps sometimes change a very successful course into something that's online. I know these tools exist, but I had to think through everything from scratch again.
So would you say that over the course of our conversation, you'd be talking about team-based learning, would you say there has been an impact on that, on more collaborative learning in NTU, and What has been done to manage this impact if there was one?
Yeah. So before I get into that, sometimes when I use the term team-based learning, it's used interchangeably with generic collaborative learning. So if you don't mind, I'll give a few kind of definitions, right?
Okay.
So I think there's a larger sphere of collaborative learning, and often that just means putting students in groups purposefully to, you know, work on particular activities, to collaborate on learning, as the name implies. Team-based learning, I think the way I've used it, and sometimes it's used in the literature, it refers to a very specific structured approach to collaborative learning, right? So when we say team-based learning, it means it's a form of the flipped classroom, and it's a form of collaborative learning, and it's a fixed series of it's a sequence of events, starting with pre-assigned work, which students do individually. They come to class and they do an individual quiz. Okay, then they work on that same quiz as a group, in a group of about 5 to 7. And while they're doing the quiz, either using technology or using less sophisticated technology like scratch cards, they get immediate feedback, which then prompts them to have further discussion on the questions they get wrong. They then have a class-wide discussion or submit appeals on questions where they don't quite agree with what was with the feedback given to them. And this prompts a kind of, a deeper discussion to the topic. And then they actually go off and work on deeper problems as a group, right? We call these application exercises. And these application exercises, after they work on them in a group, they then report their answers simultaneously. So in a class, what you'd see is different, people, different groups looking at the same problem, coming up with different solutions. And that drives, an even deeper discussion because why did you disagree with me, right? Yeah. And so it's a very structured approach, right, to collaborative learning. And the reason I've walked you through that, because sometimes we say, oh, we'll try collaborative learning. And collaborative learning definitely works. But I think the devil is really in the details of how you do it, which then makes it work better or not.
So what has this been impacted with the pandemic and everything? And how's the university managed it? I can't imagine part of an activity where students actually come into class that's still existing. Well, how are they doing it in the online space?
So I think one of the things Back to the idea of collaborative learning and structured collaborative learning, of which team-based learning is the example we're talking about. The more structured the approach was face-to-face, counterintuitively, it's actually easier to move online than the less structured approaches, right? You know, someone will say, oh, you're doing so many things on a face-to-face environment, you know, how are you going to move this online? But if you set all of this up face-to-face, you had this, you know, fancy rooms where people could sit in groups of six, right? You had technology to give immediate feedback, right? You had, your instructors ready to kind of facilitate and ask questions instead of giving lectures all the time, right? Most of this, you can move online. You'd have to probably give up the fancy rooms, right? Because, you know, in an online space, so you replace the fancy rooms with Zoom, breakout rooms, which we were a little bit concerned about, but seemed to work quite well, right? The technology which was used in the classroom to in the past give immediate feedback for the instructor to see how the class is responding suddenly becomes a lot more important online. You don't see the class face to face, but the technology gives you a kind of bird's eye view of what everyone is doing, or, you know, helps you abstract what the knowledge issues are in the class. And of course, your instructors who are facilitating already have that skill. And in online, I think that the danger of moving a lot of things online is instructors go the other way and just talk to a screen. And when you talk to a screen, as opposed to talk to a lecture theater, it's much easier to turn off a screen, right? And so at least these bits are in place. And so, yeah, a lot of people say, collaborative learning, it's going to be more difficult to do online. But I think if you have collaborative learning, like team-based learning, which is structured and you've all got these pieces together, it's much easier to do online than, let's say, a lecture.
That's quite interesting. I sort of hear a lot of academics say the other way is better because they prefer to be in the same class and same room, and they feed off verbals, non-verbals. Like, the student is paying attention, is leaning forward. Like, sometimes I always lean forward and all of that stuff. So I guess for some academics, the challenge of not being able, especially when students turn off their cameras during the class, they feel like they're not getting any feedback. But I'm very, very pleased to hear that it seems to be working. Now we're going to move
Can I add something to that? I think the other academics who said it's absolutely right too. You know, if it were, I still prefer doing team-based learning or any collaborative learning face-to-face than online. I mean, I'm not saying that online possibly has, there's certain affordances online which you haven't fully explored yet, which may even make it better. Yeah. I think what the thing face-to-face does, it's about motivation, right? It isn't really about the teaching or the activities. It's about, you know, getting the cues, getting the motivation, you know, seeing someone else smile, and all of these things are really, really important, right? And I wish we could go back to that, but I think we need to acknowledge what it takes away, right? And then be very clear about what we can do to, you know, let the online teaching go ahead in at least an effective way, and perhaps one day a superior way.
Yeah, perfect. So we're going to move the angle a little bit into the assessment design and the delivery mode. And I want to get your point on how you see the role of educators from the NTU perspective. How has this changed with the pandemic? And what's the current norm, if that's the way the right word to use for that?
I think what the pandemic has done is forced many teachers, lecturers, to think carefully about their impact, right, and how they deliver their lecture. I mean, we've had, since the pandemic has started, I mentioned earlier that the Center for Teaching, Learning and Pedagogy, we also look at the student feedback on teaching, right? So one of the first waves we had, the moment we did this, student feedback on teaching has actually, interestingly, in some areas, improved, right? Compared to pre-pandemic, right? But at the same time, a lot of faculty members, the moment we started this, they went like, oh, the student feedback teaching, the questions are very much catered towards a lecture, right? Some of the questions, at least. And I can't give my lecture. Where's my performance here? And then they say, should we not take into account for this semester, etc. But that's not really true either, because there are other questions in there, right, which balance that out, which focus more on the lecturer's ability to give feedback, the lecturer's ability to design an effective lesson, the clarity of the outcomes which were expected by the instructor and how it's communicated to the class, right? So these had more to do with the overall design of the lesson, right? And the academics role in that than actually the performance aspects, right? So that for me is interesting, because, you know, just looking at the data that we have, and I said in some areas it's improved in those areas for the people who say, okay, it's not really about performance, my performance and me showing off my knowledge. There's a place for that. Very much if people were to move it towards their, you know, designing effective lessons, designing effective questions, giving opportunities for students to get feedback, even giving students opportunities to reflect, right, on the topic. These are things which I think have definitely shifted in my university, and I'm guessing many universities around the world.
Thanks for listening. This concludes part one of our conversation. Please join us again for part two.